we're still 20 weeks or so away from the first Alex Golish win on the field. Okay, so we can't judge those yet because it ain't here yet.
Mm.
But we can judge weekend wins in other ways that are possible. And we're doing that today on a brand new Village Vice. It's a new week. He's Zach. I'm Brad. And Alex Golish and his Auburn football recruiting staff get their first big win over the weekend with a big boy running back committing to Auburn.
Yeah, Mycen Johnson Cook was trending Miami for weeks, maybe even months. And then something happened. Brad, in the closing hours of that recruiting battle leading up to his announcement, I think we all can read in between the lines of, maybe what happened in those conversations, but it was enough for really Saturday morning, the chatter to start really erupting and saying, hey, I think we're getting this guy, to, Miami folks reaching out saying, hey, this sounds like it's all you guys. I was like, wow. What a great way to start a Saturday. Then, of course, early afternoon. Yeah, he makes it official.
Yeah. So you kind of read between the lines there. NIL there, whether it's equal or greater. And I'm this stance on NIL without knowing the details of all of these situations. But kind of the standing philosophy is NIL is going to be similar everywhere, or at most places. It's going to be similar. There's a bar that you've got to reach. Like there's a, whether it's a, the ante or whatever, there's a point you got to reach for everybody. What makes the difference? We're back to the point where relationships matter. We're back to the point to where vision and role in the offense and productivity of the position in the offense in the past. Like it's not just, I think it's a little lazy and dishonest to go, oh, they just threw the most money at him. No, they threw the money that they needed to throw to be in the conversation. But then what puts you over the top? An extra grand, an extra 10 grand, an extra 20. I don't think that puts you over the top. I think what puts you over the top is look at this offense and what running backs in this offense have done at multiple places. And now you come do the same thing at 6'2", 235 pounds, and a north-south running style. Just go truck people.
Right. Yeah, I mean, NIL, every case is different, right? But it doesn't seem like it's everything. It might be a lot. It might be some. It's a part of the equation. But, he's not just coming to Auburn because, Auburn may have paid him the most or close to the most. It's more than that. Much like many people were predicting him to go to Miami. It wasn't just what Miami was going to pay him. So all of these recruitments are multifaceted. Every kid values and prioritizes different things. And just, with what we've learned about Alex Golish so far, if you don't love football and you don't want to play for Auburn, and it is all about money, you're not going to play here because they're not going to, be a part of that final bidding, if you will. So do I think they up the ante from an NIL standpoint? Yes, I do. And I think it was substantial, if I had to guess, assuming. But also they were able to put themselves in that situation because of the relationship they built prior to that.
Right. Almost has the feeling of a we love everything you're saying. It's just the amount over here is so much. Like, if you could get to this point, listen, a lot of us watching or listening have been in those positions before when we take a job. We're like, look, it sounds awesome. There's this other offer over here. If you can get close to it, I love everything else that you're selling. And that's kind of what it sounds like to me in this case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, as far as what you're getting on the field, you mentioned the measurable 6'2", some places have him at 225. I think I read somewhere that his latest visit at Auburn, he was like closer to 240, which, seems a little heavy, but then you look at the kid and it's like, no, he's not carrying, too much extra and clearly has that burst. I mean, he's going to be a tough guy to bring down. When you think about the future of this running back room, Brad, Jeremiah Cobb's going to be a big part of the offense this year, no question about it. But by the time Mason Johnson Cook is on campus and a part of this roster,
yeah,
you know, we're just assuming like the timeline will make it where Omar Mabson is RB1, or at least that's what I'm assuming. I haven't talked to you about it yet. But a potential 1-2 punch, or, you know, maybe it's a 1-2-3 punch and two of the punches are Omar Mabson and Mason Johnson Cook.
Yeah.
That is a lot of running back to bring down every single play over the course of 60 minutes.
Yeah, I would agree. And there are other guys too that are a part of that. And I think that's the point of this, is that this offense will use multiple running backs. If it does what Alex Golish and Joel Gordon have done previously, they'll use multiple running backs, which is another great selling point to a guy. You got, look, are you going to have opportunities next year? You're going to have opportunities your freshman year? Well, look, our top three running backs are all getting 50-plus carries throughout the course of a season, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there are opportunities there for you, regardless of who we have coming back. Does it mean you'll be RB1? I don't know. Probably not. Not the first year, but it sure does mean you'll be featured. Reminds me a little bit of that 2010 year when Auburn brought in Michael Dyer. I'm not comparing the two teams. I'm talking about the running back rooms. You had Mario Fannin coming in for his senior year. You had Ontario McCaleb in his sophomore year. And then you had the fantastic freshman, Michael Dyer, as a true freshman. And he absolutely got used. In fact, the more the season went on, the more of a feature he became in the running game in 2010. So when you have three dynamic running backs, you use three dynamic running backs.
Yeah.
And it speaks to their commitment to the running game. Like, it's all part of the offensive identity. They're going to commit to running the ball, and the recruits see that. Are you looking up 2010 stuff, or are you looking up
other stuff?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Dyer had 182 carries that year. I would have guessed it was lower than that. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, well, and I bet out of 182, I would guess 120 of them came in the last, like, the back half of the season. He had twice as many carries.
I always felt like they put him in the fourth quarter as well, too.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I don't think I recall that Dyer was a 1,000-yard rusher that year. I don't.
He had 1,000 in 2010?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
1,093.
Holy mackerel. No, I didn't remember that. I know he had some big runs like you in the fourth quarter against Arkansas, Ole Miss.
Oregon.
Oregon for sure. Yeah, big one. He was not down, by the way.
He was. Yeah.
All right, let me run a list. Where does Johnson Cook, where does he stack up among other high school commitments that Auburn has gotten at the running back position of late? Okay. So Alvin Henderson, Omar Mabson. Henderson was a 4-star. Mabson was a 3-star guy. Mabson was not heralded. The Omar Mabson story kind of really got cranked up when he got to campus.
Right. I mean, because he was a junior in high school.
Right.
So
he reclassified.
You know, if he doesn't reclassify and he's a part of, you know, his normal class, I do think he gets a ton of praise. I would say Mason Johnson Cook is a much, yeah, I would say he's significantly ahead of those two as far as recruitments go. Okay.
How about Jeremiah Cobb?
Jeremiah Cobb, I think, is a similar conversation.
Okay. And he was electric his freshman year when he got the touches. How about Damari Alston?
Clemson was all over him.
Yeah.
Like, that was one that, you know, if you don't retain Cadillac, you probably don't keep Jeremiah Cobb.
That's true. That's a good point. All right. Damari Alston.
No.
Jarquez Hunter.
Jarquez, the actual recruitment.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Jarquez Hunter was a late add. That was a Brian Harsin late addition where we're like, yeah, this guy's pretty good. He's just playing in the middle of nowhere, Mississippi, right? Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
Mississippi.
That was a Will Friend offensive line coach connection.
Oh, that's win. Right. Yeah. So as far as just pure recruitment, absolutely. Mason Johnson Cook.
Tank Bigsby. One of the most heralded recruits at the position in Auburn.
That one's close to. Yeah.
All right. Let me just run a list of some of these others, and you stop me when I hit one that is more heralded than Mason Johnson Cook, okay?
Okay.
Mark Anthony Richards, D DJ Williams, Sean Shivers, Asa Martin, Devin Barrett, Cam Martin, we're back in 2016, Jovan Robinson.
His was pretty big.
Jovan Robinson. Yeah, because he, like, his was big.
Didn't pan out, but his was pretty big. Yeah.
Well, and he was supposed to come in 2012. And
that's right.
Didn't. And then he came in 2015 and was really good. If that offensive line had been better.
I don't know if I was either interning. What year was that?
2015.
Okay, so I was interning / third voice on The Drive at the time on ESPN 106.7. And, like, just the daily ins and outs of the Jovan Robinson saga. Like, God, it was great.
Yeah.
Like, it was so like, just the day-to-day happenings. It's like a new report came in every day. He's like, he missed practice. Oh, wait, yeah. The next day, be like, well, he missed practice because he was taking a test. It's not injury. And then it's like, yeah. Oh, wait, no, his ankle does hurt again. Like, that was a crazy saga.
Yeah. Jovan Robinson and Booby Whitlow were the same running back. I contend to this day, they had the exact same running style. They had the same, like, effectiveness. You really couldn't get them with one. You couldn't arm tackle either one of them. And I thought... Yeah,
Booby Whitlow's, I mean, just as far as style, one of my least favorite, like, modern Auburn running backs. Nothing against him. People loved him. I'm like, I don't think he's that good. I think he just plays for a Gus Malzahn offense, and he happens to be the guy this year. But,
well,
whatever.
Again, Jovan Robinson and Booby Whitlow, both guys who were very, very good in that offense.
Yeah.
They could break through the hole. Even on first and 10, when you've run it up the middle three times in a row. Booby
Whitlow actually played, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Jovan only played one season. Whitlow was here like 9 years, it seemed like.
And he started as like a slot.
Yeah.
He was like a late addition, like last guy in a class because he was local. And they're like, yeah, let's just put him at the slot and see. And then he kept gaining all this weight. And I wasn't putting a running back.
Booby Whitlow is here longer than Diego Pavia has been playing college football. Let me keep going. A few more of these. Cam Petway, Rock Thomas.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
One of my worst takes ever. I'm glad I didn't have the platform I have now when I made this take. One of my worst takes ever is about Rock Thomas.
What was it?
Oh, I say he'd be the best running back since Bo Jackson at Auburn.
Gotcha. It's amazing how one play, like, he had some fumble issues that year, 2015, his true freshman season, but then that the drop and then not going after
14 Iron Bowl.
Yep. That's it. Yeah, 14, not 15. And then after 15, that was it. So Peyton Barber, Trey Mason was a 4-star.
I don't really remember Trey Mason's recruitment.
I don't either. And then Michael Dyer in 2010. I mean, you don't have a lot of guys who are more.
Dyer's was pretty big at the time.
The
recruiting stories about that class, like Michael Dyer, was it Lance Seastrunk? Is that the Baylor guy?
Lake Seastrunk. L-A-C-H-E. Lake Seastrunk. Yeah.
And then who's the guy who went to South Carolina?
Marcus Lattimore.
They were all on campus like at the same time or something like that.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, we're going to get all of them, which so stupid to think that all three of them would go to the same place. So dumb.
Yeah, no, in hindsight, you really do. You want to cover that differently. Go, just get one, guys. Just get one.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. Marcus Lattimore was program changing at South Carolina. He was program changing.
We talk about what ifs a lot. And people talk like Derrick Rose with the what ifs. Marcus Lattimore, if he doesn't rip his knee to shreds, generationally good running back.
I remember, so I was doing, much like you were doing The Drive, I was doing a show with Jason Caldwell at the time and Mark Murphy. And Jason was on that day, and he didn't go to South Carolina for Lattimore's commitment. And he was watching it online during the show. And Stephen Davis is there. Auburn, great running back, Stephen Davis, who's like his uncle, I think, or a cousin, or he's related to Lattimore in some way.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe he was just a mentor. I don't know. He was there. And Lattimore pulled off like the best dupe ever because he grabbed the Auburn hat and put it on. And like Jason's freaking out at the table, like, he's picking Auburn. He's picking Auburn. And then he didn't. He took it off and did South Carolina.
Oh, man, what a moment. Oh. That's crazy. That's like, that would have been like crazy radio to be listening to.
Yes. So, all right. But look, we're going back a long way, and we're only finding a couple of guys who are as heralded coming out of high school.
And you feel like. So what's the list we came up with? Dyer, Tank,
Rock.
Yeah.
And again, forget and how then, they panned out.
I think Cobb's like towards the bottom of that tier, I would say.
You would take another Jeremiah Cobb. Like if this guy turns out to be Jeremiah Cobb 2.0, different style. I'm talking about in terms of production and what he means to your program.
Yeah, right.
Right? Not comp style or anything like that.
No, but, interestingly enough, a lot of these backs are pretty different from one another. But
right.
In this system, what we think Alex Golish wants to do with the football, what Joel Gordon wants to do with running the football, like I think this type of build is great for the style of offense.
Yeah. High pace reminds you of the Gus days in that, all right, you're tired. It's the fourth quarter. Now who's coming at you? All right. You just had to tackle Omar Mabson and maybe Bryson Washington.
Yeah. Nekai Davenport.
Nekai Davenport's coming
he
at
will
you.
Fall forward every single play. Doesn't matter how hard you hit him.
Maybe Alvin Henderson. I don't know.
Maybe.
And then who's this guy? 6'2", 235, fourth quarter. I've already had to defend 80 plays. Whoa,
that's Mycen Johnson Cook's music.
That's the glass. Good Lord, the glass is breaking. That's Mycen Johnson Cook. Business is about to pick up. All right. Yeah. So, look, you can't win a game till September, but you can win other ways. And I thought it was a big weekend win for Alex Golish and this staff.
Can I talk about something else I saw this weekend?
Yeah, please do.
After we do our read.
I would love for you to, yeah. Are we doing Precision Tune Auto Care?
You're over that. You tell me what we're doing.
Yeah, we're doing Precision Tune Auto Care. Look, the summer is almost here, and you need to make sure because you're going on family trips, and you got to go here, and you got to go there, and I want an amusement park, and I want a water park, and I want the zoo, and I want all this, and the pool, and well, your card needs to be in working order to get there. Call the professionals at Precision Tune Auto Care. They give you photos and video. They're going to let you know exactly what's going on with your car. No guessing, no games. They're going to follow up too. Somebody texted me over the weekend a screenshot of a text that like they'll just check up on you. They just want to make sure everything's running smoothly at Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. 334-581-6888. They are ready to help at Precision Tune Auto Care. Proud partner here with us. At the Barn Auburn.
I love them.
Yeah.
Like personally, I love them.
They're easy to love.
Yeah.
What else?
So went to the baseball game Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Great experience. And noticed something. And, you know, I wear a lot of baby blue Auburn stuff. And we get the comment a ton like, we're not Ole Miss. Don't wear that. That happens pretty much every time I wear it, whether it's on this show or Locked On. That's just something that I get.
Yeah. Well, we're not Ole Miss. That's true.
That's true. Like, factually, that is true.
Right.
But Auburn is really pushing the baby blue. I mean, in the...
Well, they are in the merchandise displays, they are.
100%. Saw a ton of, you know, Auburn branded, like, baby blue polos and pullovers and hoodies. And then Auburn's given away in the Broadway Club where they had like these blue hats, baby blue hats they were giving, you know, they had on all those seats.
I was hoping to get one of those. They all disappeared though.
Because they look great.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic color.
Sure.
And culturally, I think that's a way that is a direction of this fan base. And now Auburn is moving. And I want your thoughts on that.
Well, moving in terms, I mean, they've worn the jerseys once at baseball.
I'm talking more about like, I don't want to say it's like an unofficial color, but it's become a popular color stylistically across the fan base. And now you see Auburn like giving out stuff that's the baby blue with Auburn stuff on it. Like, I think that's interesting.
I saw an NBA team And the NBA does. I mean, the NBA probably has 30 different uniform combinations. There was an NBA team where not, blue is not in their color scheme at all. At all. Not navy blue, not royal blue, no blue whatsoever. Yeah. But they had a baby blue uniform. The Braves have their City Connect uniforms that are baby blue.
And they look so good.
They really do.
They look, yeah, they look so outstanding.
So baby blue is just a, it's a, it's an in color right now. So I'm fine with it. Let's lean into it. How are some other ways that Auburn could lean into it, or that Auburn people could lean into it?
I think there's a lot of people that don't want Auburn to lean into it. That's kind of, that's kind of where I'm going.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to,
because the, well, we're not Ole Miss.
Well, Ole Miss doesn't copyright baby blue. They're not powder blue either. They're navy blue and red.
Right. Other schools wear navy.
Right. Yeah. I don't. All right. Yeah. I need a little more substance than just we're not Ole Miss, because Ole Miss didn't trademark baby blue.
Well, Brad, we've got two colors, orange or blue, or if you want to put it on white or gray, that's fine.
Sure. Well, but gray now, I start having an issue with gray if we're going to do that.
Is baby blue the new gray? People are asking.
Yeah. I prefer baby blue to gray.
Same.
Same. Yeah. By a lot. It's not close. Mm. Now, do I think you ought to start going out and having purple stuff? No. You don't need purple. You don't need red. You don't, you know, green on St. Patrick's Day. You know, we've done that before with baseball. They've had green shirts with the Auburn logo.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I got more stuff that I got heavier stuff in my day than getting too worked up over baby blue.
I mean, people get worked up about stuff.
Yeah.
That's a thing that happens.
Maybe we should have, what if instead of, what would you rather have, an orange football jersey or a baby blue football jersey? What if Auburn did baby blue football jerseys or a helmet? You did baby blue helmet.
I'd rather have the baby blue helmet.
Okay.
The orange thing, with the way like the Harsin administration trolled the fan base, I'm so over it.
Just because of that. So one troll job ruined it for you? Were you team orange jersey first? Or before that?
I'm going to be like, I don't think I really care much about uniform combinations. Like, it's just not. People like loved Oregon when I was growing up because of all their jerseys. And I'm like,
yeah,
all right, like, let's just strap them up and play football. Like, I don't really care. But the aspect of being trolled by your own team is pretty messed up. Because it's clear that like most of the fan base, the vocal part of the fan base, wanted it.
Yeah.
And then they're like sneaking pictures of like an like all these different orange things.
Yeah.
On Instagram and social media. And they're like, it's happening. It's happening. They kept doing it. They kept feeding into it. And then it's like, it didn't happen. It's like, man, who in that room thought that was a good idea?
It's like a once a decade thing, though, because I remember around the 2010 time, there were some hints that there might be an all Navy look, or at least that the helmet would be Navy. There were some pictures of a Navy helmet that got out, right?
Yeah.
And so about once every 10 years or so, it feels like we have that anticipation.
And some people made the move from Under Armour to Nike.
Yeah.
They made that association like, oh, we might can get orange jerseys now. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. No. Like,
you don't think Under Armour could have made orange jerseys? Like, right. What?
Oh, they would have
done it. There was this argument of like, well, Nike can get it done faster. I'm like, okay. Like, maybe that's true. I don't know, but I don't think speed's a part of this.
No.
Like, you need orange jerseys. Like, you can go ahead and start making them now. I don't care if it takes 6 months.
Nope. I think for the Southern Miss game, they should have baby blue jerseys, baby blue helmets. Keep the white pants.
So there'd be a lot of people that got really like ticked, would get ticked off over that. But the amount of money they would make, Brad, would be unfathomable for a Southern Miss game. Are you kidding me?
Right.
The issue with that is that's Golish's first home game.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't want to do anything cute for that.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. I get that. So what's the
non-conference? I want him to get the true, like, non-gimmicky flair. And obviously he's going to get it a week later when Florida comes to town. But
Yeah.
I don't know. That's going to be a historic day in its own right. So.
All right. Maybe you save it for Vanderbilt then, because you don't do it for the first conference game either. So maybe Vandy.
Maybe. That'd be great.
We've done different uniform combinations for Vandy before. We did we took the AU off the helmet, and we did white jerseys for Vandy in 2007. So, yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go back and look up pictures of 2007 and Auburn-Vanderbilt. Nobody's ever thought about the Auburn-Vanderbilt game from 2007. I guarantee you nobody watching or listening today has thought about that game in 19 years.
I'll tell you what. I mean, you said Asa Martin at the beginning of the show, and that really just, like, sent me into a whiplash.
Well, I wanted to look up the last 20 years of recruits at the running back position. And, you know, like he and Enrique Davis committed here first and then wound up going to Ole Miss.
Okay.
Asa Martin got like one or two carries. Like he might have scored against LSU in 2018.
Asa Martin was the back that Gus would put in and they only ran like a swing pass to him, right?
Well, no, that was Devin Barrett.
That was Devin Barrett. Yeah, you're
that
right.
That was Devin Barrett. Every single time he ran off the sideline, you'd know, all right, here comes a swing pass
that
to the
left.
That
was Devin Barrett.
Yeah.
And then they, like, we switched him to corner or something. And then he, like, never played again.
That's correct.
I think he transferred out.
Yeah, I think so, too. What a fun little throwback here. Think of all the running backs.
That is fun.
Yeah.
In the comments down below, comment a random Auburn running back. Would love to go through those later in the week.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be fun reading this afternoon.
Yeah. Should have done that earlier.
Yeah.
In the show.
Yeah. For folks who made it all the way to the end, let us know.
Yeah. All right. I think that does it for today's show.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching, listening. If you're not subscribed, please do that. Get notified every time there's a new show. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Maybe buyauburn.com is yours. Whatever the case, make sure Village Vice is one of yours.
You changed it up. I'm going to click it now.
Okay.